honestly. We won the 2012 London Olympics, and I always tell people it was the second hardest day of my life. Where I would take my lawnmower to the local field and I would lawnmow out the 18-yard box so I could train kids. We didn't spend money on marketing, or we didn't spend money on equipment. Or we just spent money on our customers. We really want to do life with people. We don't want to just say, hey, come to our camp for a week, learn as much as you can, leave. And people tell us all the time, you're sharing all your secrets. And we're like, there are no secrets. If one person learns something, then everyone learns. It makes our community better. It makes soccer community better. That's what we want. Whatever it is that wakes you up in the middle of the night, pursue that.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it poppin'.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, Maestro here, coming at you live with another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today I have with me a very special guest. We go way, 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 way back to when I used to pretend to be an athlete. Jillian Lloyden is with us today. She is this list. Get ready for this, guys. She was an All-American at Villanova. She was the Big East Goalkeeper of the Year, an unprecedented 3 years in a row. Let that sink in for a second there. Oh, wait, and then there's more. She's on the national team for 5 years. She went to the 2011 World Cup. She went to the 2012 Olympics. And this is all for women's soccer, my friends. This is near and dear to my heart. After that, she started a nonprofit against domestic violence. And since then, she has just continued to take over the world because she hadn't done enough, you know. So without further ado, welcome to the show, my good friend, Jillian Lloyden. How you doing, friend?
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so pumped. You've just been crushing it over there. I learn so much from you every single day. So it's really an honor and a privilege to be on your show.
Dude, thank you. Thank you for taking the time. You know, social media is amazing. And I don't even know the last time that we like saw each other in person. Like, I don't
know. Gosh, it had to be when we were teenagers, don't you think?
Right? Oh, no. Actually, no. It was in college. It had to be college. Because in playing soccer, that was probably the last time I saw you.
And that was a whole lifetime ago.
God. I'm like, so, jeez. But it's amazing because with social media, like, I watched you do this stuff and I'm like, I feel like, oh yeah, I saw her last week. I'm going to ask her to come on the podcast. And I was like, I haven't actually seen you in 100 years. So thank you for accepting my stalking and coming on the podcast. So why don't you tell the people, you know, fill in the gaps. And I'd love to, at some point, hear more about the nonprofit and the stuff you're doing with Keeper Institute, man. You just got so much stuff to talk about.
Yeah, so I did the soccer thing, played soccer for a long time. For a long time, it was just what I did. I woke up every day, played soccer, worked out, and life was all just about me and how far can I take this career. And at that point in my life, I was like, yeah, you know, this is what I want to do. I'm super passionate about it. I love it. I crave improvement every single day. And then, you know, things kind of changed for me like, toward the end of my career. I was a pro for 7 years. So at the end, my sister actually passed away in 2012. It'll be 7 years in this week, actually. And I realized that, you know, I live my life for myself, and becoming a professional athlete is nuts. Like, all you have to do is think about yourself all day long. How can I eat better? How can I stretch better? How can I train better? How can I like give myself any little competitive edge? And I got tired of it, honestly. We won the 2012 London Olympics, and I always tell people it was the second hardest day of my life. And people are like, what? You won the Olympics? Yeah. And that was the second hardest day. And you know, I realized that day that I didn't want to live for myself anymore. And so started a nonprofit, started a goalkeeper training school, and have just dedicated my life to helping other people reach their goals.
Wow. Keep going, Joel. Tell me about the Keeper Institute? Because that's pretty fascinating to me.
So we both grew up in New Jersey, but like you're from North Jersey. So yeah. You guys have everything up there. You have everything that you could ever need up there.
It's
but
true,
down though. Here in South Jersey, it's like a different state. And so when I was growing up, I was like, yeah, I was okay goalkeeper, but like I never had any training. I never had any formal training. And it wasn't until I got to college when I got training every single day that my career like really took off. Like I wasn't on any youth national teams or anything like that. And I attribute all that success to a goalkeeper coach and someone who believed in me and trained me. And, you know, it was like an everyday constant thing. And he really ignited my passion for the sport. And so I knew when I was still playing, that I wanted to give back to the next generation. And I wanted to help someone like I was helped. And in my area in South Jersey, there wasn't really anybody who was doing that. And so I had this idea. I was going to start a goalkeeper school. And we were renting facilities and I would take my lawnmower to the local fields and I would lawn mow out the 18 yard box so I could train kids individually. And then started having a couple camps and they went really well. And in my heart, I knew that we needed an indoor facility and like no one else. This is like insanity because There's no one else in the whole country who has their own goalkeeper facility. So I actually was like, okay, well, it's just me right now. I need to add to my staff. So organically, I met this woman through actually like when my sister passed away, I met her. Her name's Maria. And she has her master's in MBA business. So it was like a no-brainer to bring her on. She was a goalkeeper in college and had the passion to give back. And so we started doing this thing. We started growing it. We got our own indoor facility. And a few years later, I ended up marrying her, which was like a double benefit for me. But like, we opened up our own indoor facility about 4 years ago, and it's been growing ever since. We do things a little differently. Like we dedicate a lot of our training to character building and leadership development because that's the basis of everything. Without a good foundation of your identity and your character, then you're not going to go anywhere. I don't care how technical you are. If you don't have the grit to overcome tough circumstances, you're not going to get to your goals. So we focus a lot on character and mental training.
What does that look like exactly? I'm in my head, I'm like, do they have homework? Are they reading Brené Brown? Like, what's happening here?
Well, I read that. But our kids, yeah, they have workbooks. So we do 8-week training programs, and they're categorized by skill, by age, and there's six kids and usually one coach and one like assistant coach or like an intern. And each week we have specific curriculum that everyone does, and then they have homework. So they have these workbooks. And last semester we had them go on our YouTube page, and they had to watch one inspirational movie a week, like they were 5 minutes long. And then they had to answer these questions to help them figure out a little bit more about themselves, help them identify some things maybe that they've already overcome, or identify some spots that they were already resilient, and let them identify that. And then, okay, I'm stronger than I thought, have these moments. And then we have like debriefs in the next session. So these kids go home with homework, and that could be mental training, that could be physical, technical, whatever we're focusing on for that program.
Wow, this is absolutely phenomenal. What's the role of the parents? And I ask because I think back to like when we played 100 years ago, and I'm like, some of those parents were crazy. What is the role? How do you, you know, mediate that?
It's huge. I mean, for us, we want to educate our parents as much as possible. So some coaches try to tell their parents, you're not allowed at training and you're not allowed at games. Well, we're the opposite. Wow. We're like, please come to every training session, come to every time we have a clinic, listen to everything that we say. Try to take it in as much as you can, because guess what? All this like character building and all this character talk is only as good as what you're willing to talk to them about and how you're living your life. Right. So like, I can't go tell a kid to be resilient, but I'm not being resilient myself.
Absolutely.
So we need the parents. So we try to educate them as much as we possibly can. They're having constant connection with their kids. So it's wise for us, if we want to help our kids become great characters and great people, that their parents are living that out too, that their parents are reinforcing those ideas of, hey, your character is way more important than your performance. So we invite them to be part of everything that we do. And then we tell them some we gave them tips like, don't get in the car and ask your kid, well, how'd you do today? Because that's all performance. So you can say to your kids, hey, what'd you learn today? Tell me three things that you learned today. Or tell me three things that went well for you today. And maybe, all right, well, what's one thing that you want to focus on for the next session? So you're just getting, you're, first of all, encouraging them to be autonomous thinkers on their own, because we know that that's, kids don't think for themselves these days.
Yeah.
And then you're aiding in saying, okay, well, it's okay that maybe your performance wasn't there, but like you're learning and you're growing and you're developing, and that's okay to not be perfect.
Wow. This is like revolutionary and something I've never heard of, even at the college level. It's just like, this is just something. Where did this come from, Jill, this idea? You're just like, this needs to happen?
I think so we've been doing this since 2013, and we've been in like the trenches with these kids. Like, we do life with them. Marie and I actually had one of our students kind of move in with us last year. She took online school, and then she decided that she wanted to train with us every day. So we're just like in the trenches with these kids, and we're seeing what they need. And most of them struggle with mentality, and they struggle with embarrassment. They struggle with failure. And so I'm like, well, I did too. I've struggled with that too. So, but no one ever talked to me about that, right? Like, when I was playing on the national team, I felt like I was the most technical goalkeeper in the world. But like, when it came down to making decisions on the field, the pressure got to me. The fear of failure got to me. Hey, if you suck, you can get cut and you'll lose your contract. So you'll be poor. So all these are real life struggles. And like, the kids feel them on those levels too. And so we're constantly striving to figure out what's the best way to help facilitate learning in those areas.
How old are, because you're saying kids, what's the age range that you're looking at?
We work with anyone as young as 9 years old, and we work with a bunch of pros as well. So anyone from 9 to pro.
Amazing. And male and female?
Yep, male and female. We typically, our staff right now has grown to 11 people. So there's 10 goalkeeper coaches, and we have one performance coach, and one of our staff is a male, and that's really it. But guys don't have any problems coming to us because we can strike it just as hard. Yeah. And they feel like they get more technical work from a female goalkeeper coach because men rely more on their athleticism, where females have to be more technical.
Man, this is absolutely phenomenal. What's your, and you don't have to say if it's like secret, but what's your, is there a vision beyond this with the Keeper Institute?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I have such a huge vision for what we do. Like, I would, so we have an indoor space right now. We're looking to get another indoor space with an outdoor field. And I mean, my vision for long, long term would be housing for probably like anywhere between 10 to 15, maybe 20 people. That way we can do life with people, or we can bring them in for an entire summer. And it would be like a full on internship where you're living there, you're taking care of the grounds, you're learning every single day, you're working with younger players, you're training your butt off every day. And we did that last year with the goalkeeper from Florida. We got her host family. But we really want to do life with people. We don't want to just say, hey, come to our camp for a week, learn as much as you can, leave. We're like, all right, let's get into the nitty gritty and really, really develop to the most basic core of like who you are as a human being.
This is amazing. So Jill, I just want to kind of understand the actual, what it looks like in terms of training with them. This is, you have people that, because you're in South Jersey. And so people are coming from all over. People are coming for the summer. People are coming for camps. People are coming like as part of like a extra training sessions in addition to the club. How does this work?
Yeah. So we work with a few clubs in our area who don't have goalkeeper training. So we go in and we do all their goalkeeper training. And then mostly we have programs at our facility. So every season we have 8 weeks of programming. So they, like, for example, if you're 12 years old, you'd be in our juniors elite program. You would come every week on Tuesday from 6 to 7:30, and you would train with five other kids consistently for 8 weeks. And then we have like makeup sessions if you miss any. And then all the rest are like individual training.
Oh.
So you can come once a week. You can come five times a week. We have different packages. So you can sign up for one session, five or 10. And if you sign up for 10, you get like two video sessions. Or you can just come at your whenever you have time. So we have people who do that who will come from like Florida. We've had people come from California to do that and like stay for a few days and train multiple times a day. We really will do anything that fits into anybody's schedule.
This is amazing. You guys out there listening, if you're wondering why I'm asking all these questions, although I think you're probably just as interested as I am, because I know we have a pretty athletic movement-based crowd, mainly because just like with the rest of the people I bring on here, I'm all about that Roger Bannister effect, right? When you see someone do something, suddenly it becomes that much more attainable, achievable, or easier. You can suddenly, you know, picture yourself like, hey, they did it. Maybe I could do it. So it was really important for me to bring Jill on, and I'm like just sitting here just wowed because she's doing all of these things and creating this, taking her vision and running with it. And that's what I want you guys to do, whether it's this or whatever, just to start seeing like, hey, people can go and create their happiness. I'm not saying it's easy or just like, oh yeah, no, it's a problem. But if you really are passionate about it and you want it, you can make it. Jill, I want to ask you two questions still about the Keeper Institute because I am just, this is amazing to me. How do you market this thing? Do you even need to? It seems like it markets itself.
We really don't do too much marketing. We use social media. Like really the only platform we use is Instagram. Yeah. And Instagram is really, really important platform for us because listen, I don't care how many followers we have. That does not matter to me. We don't hashtag a million things because we really don't care. But we just want to educate the people who want to be educated. So we want to share our ideas with whoever. And people tell us all the time, you're sharing all your secrets. And we're like, there are no secrets. If one person learns something, then everyone learns. It makes our community better. It makes soccer community better. That's what we want. And we don't care about how we look. We don't care about if you think our exercises are great or not. We don't care about what you think. If you can take something positive away and it reaches one person, that's all we want.
Jill, you just, that is music to my ears. I love it. That is, yes. And that's, you guys listening, this should transcend all of the time and boundaries. Like, that is a big thing. You know, social media, Instagram, that has my heart. And to hear you saying that, yes, that is how it should be used. And this abundance mindset, that's exactly what she's preaching right now, is an abundance mindset. We're not like, oh, you're giving away your secrets. One, there are no secrets. And this is about connection and moving things forward.
Yeah. That's I mean, so good. If there's somebody in Arkansas that is going to watch our Instagram post and be like, hey, I want to be like Kaylin Sheridan, or I want to be like Kaylin Marquise, the pros that we work with, and they see someone and they're like, yeah, I want to do that, or hey, I can learn this from someone, that's exactly what we want. That's exactly what we want.
Man, this is so good. You had mentioned video sessions. How does that work?
So we take a lot of video at training, and just from like a simple tripod and our cell phones, and we can have the ability to go back and look at some technical things, and we can look at decision-making processes within training. We then break that film down. We can write on top of it, send it to players. We can help kids make highlight videos for their colleges. And then whatever we don't use, we just put in a library for future use to like look back on, or, hey, remember, let's pull up that session we did last year and we really liked that. And, let's run that again and see the differences between last year and this year.
Man, I am smiling ear to ear. This is, you're taking all the cool stuff in life and put it all together. Like this is so, so good. Let me plug it and then ask another question. You guys out there listening, we were talking about social media. If they want to follow you on social media and look at those cool videos, because the videos, you guys, I'm so glad that Jill is in my algorithms, because now I get other cool soccer videos, because Lord knows some of the stuff I was getting, I was like, how is this even, I don't want to see any more of this PT stuff out here. If they want to follow you, maybe change up their algorithms, what's the Instagram name?
Yeah, they can follow us. It's just at the Keeper Institute. Real original.
Boom. Keep it simple. Real easy. Know what is going on. How'd you end up on that name?
Because I really wanted to denote learning, and it's not just training. Like, oh my gosh, like if I watch one more thing that's like fitness based, running here, running there, no decision making, 20 minutes long. It looks like American Gladiator. I'm going to puke. And like, I just want to teach. I want to facilitate learning. I want our kids to come. I want them to think on their own. I want them to think about the game. I want them to think, how does this apply to the game and how will I use this? And I want to help create and facilitate them taking ownership of their own journey. And that's where the Keeper Institute really came from.
Oh my God. I'm going to run with that. How has being a keeper, being involved in sports at such a high level, how has that, you know, what has that taught you? What have you learned from that?
Oh my gosh, I can't even tell you. Probably I would need a book, and I probably should
it's
write
coming,
a book.
Right?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I took a lot of a different path than most people. And, you know, I come from like a single parent home, like a little bit different route. I got recruited only to two colleges because when I was playing, when I was younger, I was not great. I ended up playing at Villanova, and you know, when I was there, I learned about the game. I learned about passion, and I became super, super passionate. I was like first one on, last one off every day. And people always say that, but like, I remember when I was in college, I would take the bag of balls. I would put hula hoops in the goal, and I taught myself how to strike a ball because when I got to college, I did not know how to kick. And then beyond that, playing on the national team, you're exposed every single day. Every day you're exposed. And, you know, mentally, you have to be able to like just keep pushing on and keep pushing forward and reminding yourself how good you are and that you're at the top level, because every day is like, wow. I mean, I was playing next to Hope Solo every day, who is probably arguably the best goalkeeper that's ever played. And so you're constantly in this battle with yourself, like, hey, don't compare yourself to her. You're your own person. What's your identity? How strong do you think how strong are you really? Like when things get hard, how strong are you going to be? And I learned a lot from soccer, but I also learned a lot from my sister because she was the most courageous, bold woman I've ever met. And so when she passed away, it really forced me to have to take that path and stand up for women and stand up for women's rights and against abuse. And so I've learned a lot. Gosh, I'm still learning a lot every single day.
And you're able to put it into play, which is, you know, the most important, one of it, if not the most important things about, you know, learning things. Like, what are you doing with it? You're just taking it in, or you're actually doing something with it? That's pretty
Absolutely.
Impressive. Man.
I think that's the thing is like, there's certain times I feel in your life when you're convicted about things and you're like, gosh, like I can't live the same way anymore. And for me, it was like, you know, I'm going out there and I'm doing a lot of public speaking and sharing my sister's story, which is one of like strength and courage. And I was faced with this opportunity of am I going to be strong or am I going to be like, you know, a little weak sauce? And I had to make a decision on the national stage and come out and say, you know, I'm against domestic violence and yada, yada, yada. You guys can find the article in the USA Today. But I looked myself in the mirror and I was like, how can I encourage kids to stand up for themselves and other people when I'm not doing that myself? And when you're at that crossroads where you're like super convicted, you're like, okay, I have a choice to make. And I'm going to make the right one, even though it's hard, even though putting your, whatever your hurdle is, even though your hurdle insert here is happening, this is who I want to be on the other side, you know?
Totally. That is, wow. I'm sitting here just letting it sink in and letting it marinate, hopefully giving the listeners a little bit of time to do the same thing, because that is a huge question. And especially, you know, I ask myself this question, and I was on a podcast this morning, actually, and, you know, talking about social media. That comes up every time I do a podcast because I usually want to know something about social media. And it's really interesting because when you do a lot of stuff on social media and you create this brand, you create this persona, the question is that you? And, you know, how true are you being? And, you know, it's funny, we spoke about Brené Brown a little bit earlier, and I have a life coach, and she's a Brené Brown. She does work with that style of facilitating. And she sent me a quote one time that was basically from Brené Brown. Brené had like put out a statement and then had lost a lot of like followers or whatever. She had lost some of her, you know, supporters from that. And Brené's statement afterwards was, you know, I'm not sad about the followers that I lost. I'm sad that my original message wasn't so clear that they wanted to follow me in the first place. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, wow, this is so true and so important. And I love that you're holding up that mirror and being like, am I living this? I'm trying to preach it and I believe in it, but am I living it? And that's a big, that's a big question.
That's a daily challenge I feel for myself, just speaking, is like, am I being who I want to be in this circumstance, right? Because everyone has things that test them all day long, you know? And if you're not tested, you're not in the right environment, because I feel like I'm tested every single day. Like my patience, my words, am I doing what I would want to do if everything was okay? And trust me, I get it wrong a lot, but then like circling back and apologizing and then, you know, being better the next time that happens. But I feel every day is just an opportunity to get better and live out your passion, you know?
Jill, how is this, how is it doing this with youth? Do they pick it up easily? Is it, I mean, I'm thinking back to being younger. God, I feel so old. And just like, you know, that's tough. It's a tough age working, just all of the things. I was thinking back to it. How are you seeing them handle this?
I think that's what really tests me every day. If I'm being honest, you know, you're like, you know, you say to a student, hey, what are you struggling with or whatever? And they'll tell you, and you'll be like, okay, let's talk about some options on how we can make that work. Okay, how can we get around that? How can we improve that? You know, I love asking questions. I try not to give kids answers too much. I try to just ask them questions so they figure it out on their own. And then they have knowledge, right? So a lot of kids will have the knowledge of what they're supposed to do to improve. And now they just don't. They choose not to do it. Mm-hmm. And so that's the hardest part, I think, sometimes is, okay, well, we've identified some blind spots in your game, and now how are you going to fix it? And then actually getting them to follow through and execute is the hardest part, I think, of what we do, because sometimes kids are afraid to try, because if they try and fail, then they look dumb. Mm-hmm. Or kids are struggling with actually taking in the information, because all they can think about is, wow, I just messed up so hard and I look stupid. And that's what their brain is processing, and their brain isn't processing, well, if I just keep my chest forward, then I can improve. Even if it takes me 55 tries to get it, I'm going to do that still. Honestly, the mental block is the biggest thing, that we, our biggest hurdle every day. And once kids buy in, they get it. They're like, okay, I understand. I'm not perfect at it, but I understand. Now is an opportunity for me to engage in some like useful thinking instead of negative, harmful thinking. So I think that's the everyday battle, but I love it because it improves their entire life and not just their athletic life.
Yeah.
And that's our mission, is we want to help goalkeepers develop, but we want to help kids improve their overall life and to become like incredible people.
Oh man. Jill, do you ask them, or maybe I should ask you first, why are these kids coming? Are they, you know, what's the goal? Is it always like an objective goal? Like, I want to be professional. I want to play in college. Or is it, I want to, you know, fill some holes in my game. Like, I feel like the word's probably getting out that it's like you create these such well-rounded humans that's a drawing feature in and of itself. Like, what's their why?
Yeah. And we make sure that we ask every kid that question, right? Because if you want to be a professional soccer player, I'm going to push you. Yeah. And I'm not going to let you get away with anything. But if you tell me, Jill, I just want to play in high school and I want to be the best person I can be, awesome. We're going to take a different route. So based on what the kids' goals are and what they actually can achieve, we kind of cater their training toward that. But a lot of parents bring their kids to us because we help them with character. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of parents keep coming back. But the kids keep coming back because they love the culture. And the culture is one of, like, we don't ever yell. Like, honestly, like, if you want to, you know, continue to make the same mistake over and over and over, I'm just going to try to find a different way to teach it. I'm going to find a different way to help you get over that hurdle. And so we don't ever yell at kids. We never, you know, punish people with fitness or anything like that. We just try to encourage learning. We encourage development. And when kids see, hey, I'm learning and I'm getting better and I'm making these saves that I never thought I could make, they want to come back.
Wow. This, I am like, I want to go. I don't even, I'm not a keeper. I'm going to play Siren Play Soccer forever. I'm like, I'm going to sign up for the next round of this.
Come visit us next time you're in town.
For real. This is just to be in that environment that, and just, yes, you guys listening, creating a culture. So I know I have a lot of clinicians, I think I do anyway, that listen to this. Imagine if you guys could do this with your physical therapy clinic, whatever you guys want to call it. I hate that word clinic. It's so sterile. But imagine you could do that. Like, this is one of the reasons that CrossFit has succeeded, because it creates a culture and people want to go back and they love it there and they're learning and, you know, they're supporting each other and they're growing and they're holding each other accountable. And imagine if we could take this and move it into the healthcare world or move it into the physical therapy space. And I'm seeing places do that. I had you guys listening, I'll put it in the show notes. I had that, I had Elevate SPC on, and they're going towards that membership model. I'll link that episode in the show notes. But you're seeing that this is working because we're creating a culture. You're creating this environment that really fosters this. This is, yo, this is like revolutionary. Have you seen anyone trying to do this same model? Has anyone asked you about how could they do it? Or,
oh, every day people ask us, hey, are you going to franchise your company? Or, hey, how do you do this? Or, hey, how do you do that? And honestly, I think that I've come up with my own coaching philosophy that makes what we do special. And it's really simple, three things. And like, no matter what you face, you could just solve any problem with these three things. So like, my coaching philosophy would be, character always wins. So being a good human being and being like, not just nice. And like, I don't want you to confuse like being a good loser with being a good human. Like, I mean, you know, badass, I'm resilient, I'm hardworking, I'm determined, all those things. Like, they come first. Because if you don't have those in order, then you're not going to succeed at what your goal. Number two is always serve the athlete. The athlete comes first. It's never like, well, you should be like this. It's, I'm going to help you get to your goal, whatever it is. And then the last one is just always empty the tank, like every single day, empty the tank for your kids, to make yourself better. I mean, like, I wake up most days at 5 o'clock in the morning so I can read and help develop my own, game as a coach to help develop these kids. So whatever it takes to help, you know, serve the athlete and help them grow, is the most important thing. So I think our culture has been established as such, and it's a really, really special place, because all of our coaches embody that same philosophy, and they all do an incredible, incredible job at upholding those values every single day.
How did you find your coaches? Because that's a big thing. You guys listening, let's draw some parallels here. Because I'm kind of just living in fantasy world of just how amazing this place is. But let's draw some parallels here on the business side of things. One, where she's talking about creating this culture. Two, what you could do to create this model anywhere, whatever, you know, your demographic is, whatever your product is. But a big thing, and I just brought Melissa McDowell on. I will link that episode also. She's a physical therapist, owns like a gazillion companies, and she said that the hardest thing about being a business owner is the employees, and not in a bad way, but just making sure that you hire well, and then people have their own lives, and maybe you've done such a good job that they want to go and they leave because they want to do their own thing. How did you find these coaches?
It's funny, we've never hired someone that we didn't know.
That makes sense.
Basically, a lot of our staff, so there's 11 of us on staff. So my first hire was Maria, and she reached out to me and was like, hey, I would love to do something with you. I'm super interested in coaching and I want to help. And so I invited her to a few of my sessions, and I loved her energy and her feedback to the kids and the way that she coached. And I got to know her as a human being. And then I was like, all right, this is a really good fit. And so she was my first hire. And then a couple kids I'd been working with for like 3 years were wanting some extra jobs. And I'm like, all right, it's a great fit. You've been training with me for 3 years. And then a few people reached out to me and were like, so we had this one girl, her name's Tori, on staff. And she wanted to play professional soccer. She was 21 years old. And she was like, okay, I live in Syracuse, New Jersey. I'm going to come to your camp. And I'm like, okay. She comes to our camp. And after the camp, she's like, you're going to help me become a pro. And so I'm going to do whatever it takes to be around you to help myself become a pro. So she uprooted her entire life, moved from Syracuse, New York to New Jersey, lived in a hotel for a couple weeks, ate off of like a cardboard box, and was just like, I'm going to train with you every day. I'm going to know what you know. I'm going to become a professional athlete. And so in her first year, she was a reserve with Sky Blue and the NWSL. Oh. And then she was like, I want to be a career coach. And she moved here and she's one of our best coaches on staff. She gets it. Like, she's one of the most incredible human beings that I've ever met. And so I think for us, like Marie and I go through the hiring process and our intern process. And for us, the most important thing is we don't care what you know. We don't care what license you have. I don't care what your GPA is. I want to know what kind of human being you are. And we've always hired on that statement is, if you're a good human being and you care about kids, those are the only two criteria we have. If you're passionate about football and you're passionate about teaching, then we can teach you the rest. Yeah. And so we have an extensive like apprentice program or internship program, whatever you want to call it. And that's how we've hired our entire staff.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Like, my wheels are kind of spinning here on the business side of things, because you have grown and grown and grown. Can you just take me through, like, what did things look like in the early days? Like, I imagine it was just you mowing lawns, and now you're still waking up at 5 a.m. But can you take me through that evolution just kind of from the business side of things?
Yeah, I mean, to be really transparent, I was playing when I started it, and because I wasn't naive to know that my career was going to end soon. And also I'm really passionate about coaching. And like, I graduated with a biology degree from Villanova that I really never planned on using because I wanted to coach and give back to the next generation. So in the beginning I was still playing. So I just used my salary while I was like, you know, designing our mission statement, our website, my vision for the company. And then when I retired about a year later, I didn't take a salary for about an entire year. And I dumped all of my savings into the indoor facility, which we now have. And so it was bare bones for a while and shoestring budget. I mean, we've made so much of our equipment out of PVC piping, and we don't buy the most expensive things. And we started small. And we had this vision, and now our vision is growing, and we've saved enough money that we want to make it bigger. But for us, it was, okay, we're going to start small. We're going to treat people right. And we're going to care about our goalkeepers. And to us, like, the most important thing is, like, one of the most important things is serving the athletes. So that means, like, we're going to spend money on cards, and we're going to send those cards in the mail to our kids who we work with, to let them know we care about them and we're always thinking about them and we want them to feel good. And so we didn't spend money on marketing, or we didn't spend money on equipment, or we just spent money on our customers, essentially. Yeah, exactly. Making them feel good and taking care of our staff. That's really important.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like to call people staff. Like, mm-hmm. I think I hate that.
I get you.
But our family, you know, like, totally. Taking care of our family. So we train them every single day because some of them are still playing. We train them every day. We take care of them when it comes around holidays, take them out to lunch. Like, that's important to us.
Wow, Jill. And what does it look like now? For you, like, you are there every day, 7 days a week. How does this work?
I
wouldn't be surprised. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I mean, in my younger days, I definitely was like, okay, I'm going to grind every single day, work 20 hours a day. And then I quickly realized that I was no good to anyone once I did that. So Maria has been really, really helpful. Once we got together, she's like, listen, you're not doing any of that bullshit anymore. You need some days off. Schedule some days off. Take care of yourself because, listen, when you're on E, you're no good to anyone. So I try to take off at least one day a week, maybe every other week. But I take care of myself. I go to the gym every day. But now it's more about office work, and I'm on the field probably 4 to 5 hours a day.
Man, this is...
But I love it.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I enjoy it. But I do get away. Like, I just got back from a holiday for 4 days in Florida, which was nice.
Good.
Bad. Yeah, and I've had to do a lot of different jobs over the years. Like in the beginning of TKI, I was working with our national teams, and I work for ESPN as a commentator in the fall. So like I stay busy with other projects that are fun, you know?
I was actually going to ask about that. Before I ask about that, yes, yes, and yes. You guys listening, you know, 4 to 5 hours, even if he had said 8 to 9 hours, that's not that it matters. It's my full support, though, because, you know, the work-life balance, you know, Allison, my mentor, I'm going to get her on this episode podcast one of these days. She had said it at the Rock Tape Instructor Summit, you know, work-life balance doesn't exist when this is your life's work and you love it and you're doing it. You go and you do the things and you don't mind being on the field for 4 to 5 hours a day. And it's not that you're burning out. You're like, I love it. I'm burning bright and I'll take a little bit of a break and then, you know, probably really miss it and then come back and I'm ready to go again. How's that ESPN job?
Oh, I love it. I get to be around soccer and great coaches all day. I mean, I called probably anywhere between like 15 and 20 games this year. And so I get to interview the coaches before the games and learn and grow and develop. And I get to watch the game. And, you know, I started that job because it was absolutely out of my comfort zone to go on TV. Like I freak out public speaking. I freak out in front of a camera. And I was like, okay, I'm going to make myself do this because I hate it. And then I actually liked it more toward the end of my first year. And so, yeah, I do that for fun. And I get to be around some really incredible people. So,
dude, I love it. You're doing the things, you're living the life. And I knew this episode was going to be good, but I didn't know it was going to be this good. Like, this is real talk, real life, and just so applicable to everything. You know, I do my best to try and connect the person. I bring people on strategically. I have full confidence in every person I bring on, but I always try to, like, you know, moderate it and be like, okay, let me have to bring this back to physical therapy or something. But I don't even need to. I'm like, this is life. This is the real stuff. This is everything. Jill, before I let you go, let me actually just go through my list and over here. And I was like writing a million things down as I was going. Two things. One, I'm going to ask you a question, but one, I just make a point. I love that you keep saying student and that you refer to the players students. There's just something so good there. And I know you're very cognizant of your word choice too, because you're like, I don't like referring them to my staff as staff also. I love that you keep saying that. It's just so good.
Yeah. So good. I mean, I'm a student. Yeah. Aren't we all students? Yeah. Like, I read, I watch other people's stuff every single day. Like, I want to be the best player or coach now, coach that I can be. I want to give back as much as I possibly can. And if I'm not a student of the game every day watching the evolution of the game, then I can't teach well. I'm not going to be able to teach my students well. And we want them to know they're students. They're students of the game. Like, you don't just come to training once a week. You watch De Gea this weekend. Watch Alyssa Nair next weekend in the She Believes, or, you know, watch what they do and learn, because you can take pieces from their game and you can apply it to your game. And that's how TKI began, right? Like, we all take ideas from each other. We can learn from way different things. Like, I have an interview with a fireman next week because I want to learn how they make decisions under pressure, quick decisions under pressure, and how can that apply to goalkeeping, right? So, I mean, we're all constantly learning, and we want our kids to learn and be like, I am a student and I'm in charge of my own development.
Man, if you guys out there didn't love her before, I know you all just fell in love with her right there. But she's married, so it sucks for you. And just so good. Okay, I'm going to stop harassing you. Is there anything else? Because you've already shared so much. So if you say no, I won't even be mad. Is there anything else you want to leave the people with? You've shared so much, Jill. So thank you. Thank you. Is there your parting words or any last, you know, words of wisdom? Anything?
I guess I would say to everyone listening that whatever it is that wakes you up in the middle of the night, pursue that. Pursue that like wildly and with like reckless abandon. Like, I know sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and be like, oh my gosh, my heart breaks for domestic violence victims. And I'm like, I gotta tell my story. Or sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have this excellent goalkeeping idea. I can't wait to get on the field tomorrow. And like, those are the things that like are your calling, like your purpose, I guess, in your life, and things that ultimately will leave you so satisfied and fulfilled. Like, you know, people chase a lot of things that are so fleeting these days. And the only thing I think that really can satisfy your soul is just living out your purpose. And so whatever it is that wakes you up in the middle of the night or breaks your heart, or you say, wow, someone should do blah, blah, blah. Like, that's you, and do that, and it will leave you so satisfied.
Oh my God. The mic has dropped. That is the end. That's so good, Jill. Thank you a million times over for being you, more than anything else, for being you and speaking your truth and leading by example. It's, we need more of that. It was really my honor to bring you on this episode and share you with my audience. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm a fan. I'm going to be learning all about rock tape and everything I can be from you, and movement and the body is so important. So to all the people listening, thank you guys for the incredible work that you do, keeping old people like me on the field and healthy.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, Jill. Thank you. You guys listening, thank you. I know you could have been doing anything and you chose to listen to us. And for that, I am extremely, extremely, extremely grateful. So if you like this episode, please give it a star or five. That would even be even better. If you loved it, subscribe. It does help people to find the podcast. All right, wrapping it up for real this time. Until next time, friends, Jill and Maestro,